Welcome to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. This week was a little different here at Worcester Nazarene as our Naz kids performed their Christmas musical, Fact or Fiction, the Christmas edition. We encourage you to check out their performance on our church YouTube page. This week, Pastor Nathan gave a condensed message on the Christmas song, Away in a Manger.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Did the kids do an incredible job? They sure did. I just want to leave you with a couple of thoughts. We're in a series called Songs of Christmas, and every Sunday before Christmas, we're highlighting one of the songs. Last week was O Holy Night, and today is appropriately Away in a Manger, and I'm going to have them sing just a little bit of it in a moment or two. I don't know if anybody like me remembers singing that as a child when I was in musicals and various things like that. But I want us to picture it. Imagine this, Almighty God stripping himself of all of his glory and splendor, born in such a humble, lowly place. And in so doing, the way he came is so important, because the message to all of us is there's no T-O-O. You're not too far, too bad, too anything. That's the message. He came to us exactly where we are to extend his love and grace. And no matter where you are, his love and grace can reach you. You can see him from wherever you are. So I want to take off on just a little bit of the song here. I looked for the story. There isn't a big fancy story behind the Way of the Manger. It's most interesting that it was wrongly credited to Martin Luther and subtitled Luther's Cradle Song. But the funny thing is, he didn't write it, nor did he even sing it to his children at bedtime. Because the song didn't originate in Germany, but it came from the good old USA in the mid-1800s from the heart and pen of an anonymous American writer. We may never know who wrote the song, but it's still on the list of best loved, best known, heartwarming songs of Christmas. It tells the story of that lowly, humble birth, the greatest world-changing birth of all time. You know how a birth changed your home and your family. This is the greatest ever. Jesus, the Savior and Lord of all mankind, was born in a stable and laid in a manger. Would you just sing a little bit of that, Nate, Sarah? And if you know the words, just join him and sing along. Let's make it a song of Christmas, a song of worship. Could we do that? Sing that last line one more time and fit us for heaven.
Bless all the dear children in thy tender care.
Fit us for heaven.
And fit us for heaven to live with thee.
I don't know about you, but I absolutely love Christmas, and around here we call it the blessing season. But do you know why there's Christmas? Because of Bethlehem. Have you thought about that? No Bethlehem, no Christmas. We wouldn't be assembled in this way. it's not all the things we put before the Mass. It's not Hallmark Mass, and it's not shopping Mass, and it's not all the other Masses. It's really Christ Mass, and that's why we call it Christmas is Christ Worship. Luke 2, verse 6, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." It's not just his coming, but the way he came, as I mentioned, is so very important. He came to the cradle as a baby, as a child, and he became king of all on the cross. Have you thought about this? Have you sung this song? This phrase is oft repeated: the little Lord Jesus. The little Lord Jesus. And do you know what he came to do so long ago? He came to fit us for heaven. Do you know what that means? He came to make us heaven ready. He came so that we could have a relationship with God the Father through what he did. Not in the manger, but what he did on the cross and through the empty tomb. Being fit for heaven is the reality of what we say, saying yes to a relationship with Jesus. He's done all he needs to do, but have you opened up your heart? Have you said yes? The kids sang about it so beautifully. There's so much more to the story than the manger, the babe in the manger, because Jesus grew up to become our Savior and our Lord. I could pick out a lot of phrases and songs from the songs that they sang, but did you notice the words, "Reign in me"? "Lord, you are my King. You're seated on the throne, Lord of everything. Come and make my heart your home. Renew my mind each morning and throughout the years. I want the world to see you reign in me. You reign in me. I'll share your love and kindness with everyone I meet. I want the world to see you reign in me. You're my mighty King. There's no one like you, Lord of everything. There's no one like you. You rule the earth. You reign on high. We'll sing and shout without a doubt. They'll find out it's true. There's no one like you, Jesus." Aren't those great words? Now, here's the thing of it. There's a method to our madness around here. We want to get God's word into their hearts and minds. And I love the Bible ABCs, didn't you, when they were quoting scripture with the reference, getting God's word in their heart. But there's magic in these Christmas musicals. Our kids were in Christmas musicals from the day they could barely walk. And they still know the words to those songs. You may say, "Well, Pastor, those words you read, those are way beyond the understanding of kids." I don't care. It's about hiding God's word in their heart, and they'll recall those things that they've placed. And how do you know sometimes it's easiest to learn through the words of a song? So they're hiding God's word in their heart through a song like this and through a theme and message like this. So let's go back to the Christmas story and hear what the angels said and the shepherds to the shepherds. And thinking of that, if we think about the worship of Christmas, who were the first worshipers at Christmas time? It were probably the angels that announced, filled the sky and announced the good news. It says, "And there were," I love Luke 2, Christmas story from the King James Version, "and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." That means really afraid. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I read about a little boy that had a part of an angel, and all he had to say in the musical was, "It is I, don't be afraid." I mean, his mother rehearsed him, "It is I, don't be afraid, it is I, don't be afraid." But when he came out on the stage with the lights and the crowd, people looking scary like you, there was an awkward pause and silence, and finally he blurted out, "It's me, and I'm scared. Well, that may be us today, but he wants us to know that wherever we are, he is here for all of us, and he longs for a relationship. Love the Christmas story. Because of Christmas, because of Bethlehem, we can know and realize that God was fully man and fully God. That we have a Savior who has gone before us, and he's not here, he's in heaven, and that God is always here for us. You have it. The little Lord Jesus is become Christ the Lord. Did you notice the other familiar song that they sang towards the end? Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word, get it in. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell me how angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest. There's that worship I was talking about. Peace and good tidings to earth. Another ending phrase is, love and that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. When we see the manger and the baby, we think of love, don't we? We do. But on the cross, he became our Savior. Love saves. Could I tell you the rest of the story? Jesus was born to die. He lived, he suffered, he died on a cross to pay for all our sins once and for all. To make that relationship with God possible. He came out of the grave on the third day, and now he lives and reigns forever. Verse 11, Luke 2, Jesus our Savior. Jesus saves us, delivers us, preserves us, our lives, by making our hearts and minds new. Here's my question. Do you believe? Has Christmas in Bethlehem made a difference in your heart, in your life, in your relationships, in your home? Jesus came to open our hearts, to knock on the door of our hearts that we would open and invite him to live in. He says, I will be with you always. I am Emmanuel, God with us, God with us. It's always amazing to me that so many reject, stiff arm, push away the most remarkable gift ever given. Have you ever had a remarkable gift that didn't necessarily come in a remarkable package? It wasn't what you expected. So it's true of Bethlehem. The manger is empty. If you notice in the foyer, oh come, let us adore him. The manger's empty. Jesus came to and through the manger on his way to the cross and the tomb. And aren't you glad they're empty as well? Because he's alive. The little Lord Jesus has become our Savior and Lord. That's who he is. Is it true for you? The kingdom of our world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forevermore, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. That's from that great, great work, the Messiah. The little Lord Jesus came, was born, lived, died, rose again, and lives now, so that we all would have the opportunity with our free will to choose a relationship with him, to say yes to all that he's done, all that he's provided. And when we say yes, the Bible says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when someone becomes a Christian, a follower of Jesus, they become a brand new person inside, not the same anymore. A new life has what? Begun. You can only have life with meaning and purpose by opening your heart to the little Lord Jesus. Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? It's not automatic. We make this mistake sometimes of thinking because we have life and breath and God's been so good and gifted us so much that we're fit for heaven. But we're only fit for heaven when we come into relationship with Him and say, yes. What's keeping you away? In this Christmas season, I can't think of what in the world would keep you away from receiving such a precious gift that is better than anything you'll ever get or anything you've ever gotten. But it comes down to this, again, beyond pride that has many faces, we open the door of our heart and say, yes, be born in me. We give Him our sin. Man, it's good to get rid of that. And we become new. But He's also after ourselves. He wants us to surrender not just some stuff, not just our sin, but all of who we are. Because we're the sin makers. Got it? He wants to do something about the production, the factory that creates sin. He wants to do something about it. That is when we give Him ourselves completely. I'm going to pray for you, and then they're going to sing as we conclude. Wherever you are online in this room, I love the things of Christmas. I love the theme of Christmas. I love the Christ child in a manger because our hearts are so tender about babies. You know that. When ones come to your home, as I mentioned earlier, it changes everything. We become tender and we act almost foolish in our baby talk and the things we do. Everything is rearranged. But God knew what would touch our hearts. And in the stillness of this moment, I'm just going to invite you to just examine your heart and say, okay, I may know the story, but do I believe the story? You can know it, but knowing it isn't going to fit you for heaven. It's believing it and receiving it, embracing it. That's what will make you fit for heaven. And if you've never said yes to a relationship with Jesus, I can't think of a better time that you could always remember than right here, right now. It's not a formula. It's not something we just pray flippantly, but from our heart we just say, Jesus, thank you for living, dying, and rising from the grave. And thank you for living, and thank you for providing forgiveness for my sin. I receive that by faith. I need it. I can't save myself. I can't fix myself. I've tried. I need you. I have so much in life, but I'm still searching. It's not satisfying. So I open my heart to you. God, come in and begin to make me new. Begin to make me new. Change my perspective, my attitudes and thoughts so that they align with yours. I thank you that you're near us and that through that saying yes, you can make us fit for heaven. And from now until we draw our first breath in heaven, you can continually change us and grow us as our identity becomes in Christ. I am a child of God. So of all the gifts given and received this Christmas season, this blessing season, may we open our hearts right here and now to the most precious gift ever given, Jesus, the little Lord Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. And I pray that as sincerely as I know how, not knowing what all it's going to mean and where it's going to lead, but I trust you, Jesus, to do what you said. I trust that you're going to live in me and through me from this moment on, and I say thank you. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for the miracle of Bethlehem. I pray it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, hey, if you've prayed that prayer, if you feel a little tug at your heart, you need to tell somebody. Around here on normal Sundays, we use our altars and stairs all the time to pray. We have things that could help you in your relationship with Jesus. Any of us pastors and lay leaders, if we could help you and assist you in your relationship with Jesus beyond today, we would love to do that. We've got materials available at the Connect Center. But if you made a decision for Christ, if you've been far from Him, you've forgotten about the meaning, come back to Him. You need to tell somebody. You need to go on record and let them know the decision you made today. Amen.